can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Genesis. And I want to go to the 12th chapter of Genesis. And I want to give you three traits of a godly mom. There's probably a whole lot more than that, but I want to give you three that I believe will help you today, Mom. And my goal in this lesson today, this message, is to let you know that God uses moms in extraordinary ways. Just think about with Abraham and Sarah and the struggles they had. But how many knows Abraham couldn't have been the father of many nations without the mom? Yeah. And so I want you to know today that God loves you very much just the way you are. With all your faults and flaws and bulges and warts and corns. He loves you just the way you are. He does. Isn't that neat? I think that's neat to know that. And so I want us to look at Abraham and Sarah. And let me give you the three things, really, that I want to talk to you today about, the three traits. One is unconditional love. You know, just unconditional love. And I think one of the most powerful tools a man or a woman can have is unconditional love. But probably our moms show that more than anyone, is unconditional love. Is, you know, dads, sometimes we're really hard-headed and hard to forgive our children when they mess up, and they, especially if it's kind of a defiant thing. But you moms seem to have an extra dose of grace when it comes to unconditional love and just loving your kids where they are and all. And the second thing that I believe is submission, or being submissive to your husband. And I know that's a chore. And some of you just couldn't do it, so you left. I understand that. There's a precious young couple that we know and kind of raised up the young man in our church, and he's just become very selfish and hard-headed, and he's spending the weekend in jail because he done some things that he shouldn't have done to his little family. And he didn't think it was that abusive, but it was abusive. And so I know sometimes it's really hard for you all to submit to your husbands. It's not easy. But I'm telling you, it's the right thing to do. Jana said a long time ago, she said, here's what I do. I submit to Jack, and then if I don't agree, I tell God on him. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Kind of scary, you know? But that's how she handles it. And she does submit. I mean, she definitely has a voice, and submitting doesn't mean you don't have a voice and a say-so and not, that you're not equal partners. Submission just says that God has put somebody in charge of our home so that we'll have a head, and when there is not, we're not for sure what we're going to do, well, he laid that on the man of the home. And so, really, it's really a good loophole for you ladies if you'll take advantage of it. It's kind of like, well, we messed up. Talk to him. He's the head of the home. I left it in his lap. And that's kind of what my wife has done and learned to do. And we have a wonderful relationship. In fact, I talked to one of my friends the other day and said, you got your wife any flowers yet, roses? I said, nope. Well, you better hurry. This was like Friday. You better hurry. I said, I'm not getting her any. I don't get her flowers except for on her anniversary, and then I'll send her 35 roses on her anniversary because we've been married 35 years. The bouquet gets bigger and more expensive every year. It's cutting into my retirement right now. But that's what she likes, and that's what we do, and then we'll go out for a really nice dinner. And I said, but what my wife likes is the mall. And so I don't send her flowers because I want to send her what she likes. And so yesterday or day before, I guess it was Friday night, we were getting ready to go out. And I said, well, what would you like for Mother's Day? She said, oh, I don't know. And used to I would panic, but I know my wife and I know what she likes. And so I don't panic anymore. It's green and it goes with anything. How many knows what it is? Yeah. It just goes with whatever you got. You know, it's called cash. And so I know she, and so I just said, well, you want to give me a check or you want me to just reimburse you? She said, I'll just get it later. And so I called her yesterday and I said, what are you doing? And because we came up and mowed, and thank you for Mark and Dave and Eric. Yesterday they came up, man, and just groomed this place. Didn't it look good this morning, all groomed? And thank you very much. So we were out doing that, and then I had to go home and do the same to my house and my place, you know, and because the grass was up real tall, and then we had a board meeting last night. So it was a busy day, and I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm at the mall. You're buying me an outfit. I'm a good husband, aren't I? And I said, how much did it cost me? She said, well, let me say this. You might want to learn to not do this every time. You know, I said, oh, no, you're helping me out, honey. You're helping me out. Thank you for being a good wife and doing the shopping, you know. And you could just hear her. So she come home and she said, this is how much. I said, that much? She said, yeah, I bought the shoes myself. That's just for this outfit. And I said, well, praise the Lord. How about it was Mother's Day? It should be about what mother likes. She wanted to go home today and cook out. She didn't want to go out to a restaurant because it's crowded and stuff. And the grandkids were like, let's go to Red Lobster, Manny. That's what we like. I said, well, it's not Grandson Day. It's Mother's Day. And so my old grill kind of died last year. And so she said, go get you a new grill and let's grill out the home. I thought, yeah. So I got a new grill, but it's what she wants to do. And so I'm going to go home and cook for her. And then she'll put on her new suit Monday and go to work. All will be well. It's called Mother's Day. And so all I'm saying is this. It's what, you know, we've learned our roles and our place and when to submit and when to have authority. And she knows that when it comes to certain decisions, God has placed that responsibility on me. Abraham was called to go out. Let's read in Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in all the families of the earth shall be, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. He took Sarai, his wife, and Lot's brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired from Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan, so they came to the land of Canaan. This is the second move since God's been leading Abraham. His father took him first out of the land of Ur, and Sarah followed him from Ur to Haran, and now from Haran to Canaan. And how many knows, ladies, sometimes that can be really difficult when you're leaving your mom, your parents, your family, and you're going to a different country. And just think of this. She didn't have a way to email. She didn't have a way to call on her cell phone. She didn't have a way to communicate to her family. She left them all behind. And it never says that Sarah complained. In fact, you know what the first thing it says about Sarah is, if you back up and go to chapter 11 in verse 30, it says, but Sarah was barren, she had no children. That's the first thing it says about Sarah in the Word. And so she's having problems, she's having her own personal struggles, because to be barren back in her days was really a great, great disappointment. As it is today, but even more so in society. You know, society, I don't look at it like they did back in Sarah's day, that it would be a real shame if you couldn't bear children. And today, it's, you know, it's accepted because we adopt and we have other means and things. But Sarah, it didn't say she ever complained. And so unconditional love is mixed in that, and then being submissive is in there. And the third trait is patience. I believe that she displayed a great deal of patience as a mom, or a wannabe mom. And she follows Abraham wherever the vision of God takes him. And sometimes it's really hard to follow your husband and his vision. And you might say, what vision? You know, my husband don't have a vision. Well, he probably does in some sort. He knows maybe about retirement or what he wants, how he wants the house to look, or how he wants this to be, or when he's going to do this. And he probably has some sort of vision. But it's hard to follow your husband sometimes, isn't it, ladies? And their ideology and their ideas.
Amen.
Yeah, it's hard. And God knows that. And in fact, how many of you have have ever, you've gone, maybe, how many's ever gone overseas traveling? Anybody? Most of you? So when you got there, and maybe if it's somewhere here in the States, to unfamiliar place, and has your husband ever said, now you know, honey, when we get to this destination, he's looking at you as you're driving along, you know, and admiring your beauty, and he says, you know, honey, when we get up here to this foreign country, and I remember going to Cancun one time, and that we got off the plane, and they standing there with those, literally those belts, you know, that's full of bullets, and they cross each other, and their rifles. I don't know if they're machine guns or what they were, but they had the big old honking guns, you know, and we're standing there. First thing you greet, that's what greets you when you get off at Cancun, or did us anyway, and you're thinking, man, it's kind of, it makes you know you're not home anymore. And so, anyway, you get to this destination, and how many's ever had your husband say, you know, I just noticing how beautiful you are, and if the king happens to come up, or somebody with great authority comes up and looks at you and kind of favors you and wants you, let's just tell them you're my sister and just go with them. How about that? How many might take that a little personal? How many might say Abraham would be sleeping on the couch that night? Yeah. But that's what he literally said. He says, you know, they may think that because you're so beautiful, they can have you. And if they find out that we're married, and he puts a lot of pressure on her. Look in verse 10. It says, now there was a famine in the land and Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you, and keep in mind what Sarah's probably, what, but now 75 years old? How many has ever seen a 75-year-old that you think, now, if you're 75, we're not saying anything, but you know, it just isn't what it used to be, right? But she's 75 and he's still concerned. And here's the thing, when it's real to a person, it's real. And this is real to Abraham. In fact, it almost happens, but I think he probably almost spoke this into existence. I think it would have been totally different. How many knows when God gives you a vision, he'll bring it to pass? I think he has the ultimate insurance, if you will, because God said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations, and Sarai is your wife, and we're going to bring these descendants through Sarai. But they just don't want to wait, and they just don't want to... But he's looking at her beauty, and he's thinking, and he says, indeed, I know that you're a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they'll let you live. That's a terrible burden to put on a spouse, isn't it? Listen, you're my savior. If you don't speak up and if you don't go along with this plan, I'm a dead man, Sarah. So what do you say, honey? He says, please say you're my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I will live because of you. If you don't go along with it, it's your fault. So it was when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptians saw the woman, and they saw she was very beautiful. Maybe 75 years. The princes of the Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. Listen to this, in verse 16. Abram was treated well for her sake. He had sheep and oxen and male donkeys and male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. He made out pretty good, didn't he? Be like giving you a bass boat and an SUV and a truck and saying, just go fish. Thank you for the woman. You just go right on about your day. And all I'm saying is, Sarah didn't have a saint to put up with. And when we're talking about unconditional love and being submissive and being patient, just remember, her husband gave her away. There's been times that I'm sure, just like I have, you felt like giving your spouse away. But how many knows you're just smarter than that? You don't say it. And you don't follow through. But here he is, and he's followed through with this, and it's strictly a fear. It's his fear. It's not Sarah's fear. It's his imagination. It's not Sarah's. But she has to be involved and put up with this, and then God intervenes. And if it's not bad enough, if you go over to chapter 20, you'll see Abraham repeating the process again. How many says now, women, how many moms say, I might could forgive him once for being afraid and give me away, but once God proved that he would intercede, he gave me away again, I'm going to give him away. Let me see your hand, yeah. All I'm saying is, you say, well, you don't know who I'm living with, Pastor. I'm just saying, you don't know who Sarah was living with. Twice he gave her away out of fear and imagination. And sometimes, guys, you know, we do stupid things, don't we? Just stupid things. And we know that it's hard for our wives to submit when we just do stupid things. But this was real to Abraham. This was imagined fear, I believe, but it was just as real. And how many knows imagined fear can be just as real as any kind of fear? I mean, if you think about it and imagine it, I've had people that were down and depressed and say, I don't know what we're going to do. And they kept repeating that. And it just got worse and worse and worse and worse till they hit bottom. So what we imagine and what we say can come to pass. That's why Paul said it's better to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You know, and my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Because what we confess and think and say and our fears can become reality as we speak them into existence. Some of you teenagers, I don't think I can pass. Well, you probably can't. I don't think I can make good grades. Well, you probably can't. Because whatever you think, that's pretty much what you're going to get. You ever notice that? And so here she is. She's not living with a saint. She's just living with a man of God. Just like you are. You're not maybe living with a saint, but you're living with the man of God. Or maybe you're not. Maybe your husband isn't a Christian. And you're unequally yoked. He said, well, just dwell with him in peace as long as you're able. I want to show you something I thought was really precious when I was studying this. Go over in chapter 17. Now, how many knows that Sarah she's been moved away from her parents, her mom, her dad, her family, and then she's been moved again after she settled down in Haran. And so she's submissive and she's showing unconditional love for her man, and she's very patient, I believe. It never records her griping about anything except for the mistake she initiated. How many knows what that is? That was what? Hagar, her servant. When Abraham's about 86, she says to him, she says, you know, the Lord says he's going to make you a father of many nations, and I just don't see how he's going to do that as long as it's just with me. Because the Lord has, she says, the Lord has restrained me, is what she told him in chapter 16, and from having children. And she said, I just don't see how that's going to happen. Now, here's a key before we look at what I want to show you in 17. Here's the key, ladies. Sometimes you get tired of waiting on your husband to take the initiative to do God's will, and you try to help Jesus out. How many knows Jesus doesn't need your help? He needs your cooperation. It's hard sometimes, isn't it? Just to say, I want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Because I want my man to get on the stick and get after it and get it done. You know, I want my man. And we know what God wants us to do. So maybe it's to buy that dream home we're going to retire in. So I know he's a little slow, so I'll just go out and find her own and make the initiation. I'll try to scrape up a down payment and I'll do all. Instead of just letting Jesus and your husband handle the hard part. And so she says in her impatience this particular time, she says to him, you know what, I've got this lovely young handmaiden, and her name is Hagar, and what about if I give her to you, and she can be your other wife, and we'll have children through her? No, Abraham's 86 years old. He looks at Hagar, and she's probably a dark-complected, beautiful young lady, and says, sounds like a good idea to me, Sarah. And so, let me give this to the guys. Your Sarah has all kinds of ideas and druthers and wants and desires, but God still says, sometimes when she suggests these desires and things to hurry up the process, God just wants you to know and me to know, it's only a test. It's not me. It's a Ishmael. It's a Ishmael. It's not the real deal. It looks good. It smells good. It's got an overall good feel about it, you know. It's not me. Stick with the vision. And I think God brings tests that way through our wives. What if Abraham would have said, you know what, honey? God has said to us that he's going to make me a father of many nations. You're my wife, and we're just going to wait on the Lord. Let's go try to make a baby. What do you say? And here they go. I mean, knows that would have been a God thing. But because Sarah, the wife, wants to initiate and hurry up the plan of God, now they're both in a mess. In fact, you know what Sarah does? When she finds out that Hagar conceives and has a baby, she comes back and she looks at her husband, just like some maybe of you have done before when you initiate something that don't turn out right, and you think, well, it's not the initiating that I did. It's the way you handle it, husband of mine. And so she looks at her husband, she looks at Abraham and says, this is all your fault. And Abraham, again, he's in terror and fear. And he says, whatever you want to do with her, just do it. So she just ran her off. She came back another time because the Lord sent her back. Remember, she came back and then there's another place in here when she has her little Isaac, and Isaac is born, and Ishmael's making fun and taunting him at his weaning party. And she says, that woman has to go. This is the woman she initiated. That woman has to go. This thing that's in our house has to go, even though she initiated it. Happy Mother's Day. Be careful what you initiate in your home. You might just get it. Be careful what you initiate in your home. You might just get it. She initiated the whole thing and now she has to deal with it. Ishmael's about 13 years old and he says, just whatever you want to do. And so guess what Sarah does? She goes over and beats the fire out of Hagar and sends him down the road. This is the thing mom initiated. Be careful what you initiate in your home. Unconditional love, submission, and patience. Three great traits of a godly woman. Now, here she is, and she's gone through all these feelings and emotions. Now, here's what I want you to take away with you today. In chapter 17 and verse 15, then God said to Abraham, for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. You know what that literally means, Sarah? It means princess. Sarah's probably close to 90 years old now, and she gets a new name. How many believes God can just give you a new name? Godly women, listen to me. It doesn't matter how old or young you are, when you're standing in the will of God and you're lining up for the will of God, He might just give you a new name. He might just look at you and say, you're no longer Delisa, you're princess now. You're no longer Jerry nicely, you're princess nicely. Because you're standing in the will of God. Not because you hadn't beat up a few people along the way, you have. Not because you didn't get after your husband for something you initiated, because you have. But because you're you and you belong to God, just like Sarah did, and because He's got something that He wants to birth through you and your family for the kingdom of God, and He wants to show people in your community the face of God as they look at you And he looks at you and he says, you're not Lena any longer. You're Princess. You know. You're Princess. You're not Don anymore. You're Princess. And he gives you whatever name he calls you. Like I said, Abraham, the father of many nations. And so, this is what I want you to take home today. Here they had their mess, they had their ups and downs, they had their bumps and bruises, and they had all their mistakes. But they stayed in service for the Lord. And I believe one of the key to Sarah's life was she didn't complain and gripe. How many knows God hates complaining? Complaining is just the opposite of faith. It's just belly aching because I'm not happy with what God has given me thus far. Whatever it is, your house, your spouse, your kids, your car, your job, whatever it is. This is something God has provided for us. And I think that's one of the keys to her, just being patient and waiting. Yes, she messed up. Yes, she brought Hagar in. And yes, it was stressful. And yes, she had regrets. We all have that. But let me tell you what else you have. You have a bright future following God if you'll line up. And say, yeah, I've made some mistakes, but I'm going to follow Him. And I'm going to submit to God's will. And I'm going to trust my husband. And I'm going to pray for him. And I'm going to tell God on him when he's not what he needs to be. And I'm going to put responsibility in his lap when I need to put it there. And I'm going to lay it down, let him and God haggle over it and work over it and fret over it. And here's what I believe. You know, and I don't say this hoping this will happen. But here's what I really believe. And I counsel this. But listen, if you will line up, man or woman, if you will line up and serve God and plant good seeds in your marriage, one of two things will happen. God will either restore that and heal that, or He'll bring you someone that you can have that with. And that should be a last resort. But I'm a true believer that if you plant whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And if you're in a situation where your Abraham just won't straighten up, won't do, you just keep planting good seeds to that Abraham that God's give you. Because if you don't, and you trade him off and you get you another one, you'll have the same old problems with a different Abraham. But if you plant good seeds and plant good seeds and he just won't line up and you think that this has been a big mistake, I'm telling you, God somewhere will give you the life you're looking for. He'll either transform that man or he'll bring you a man that will love you and help you. Heavenly Father, thank you for our moms today. I pray that these three traits will be strong in their life, in their hearts. Unconditional love, God, that is so very difficult at times, I know, for them. To love us unconditionally because we're human and we have all kinds of faults and flaws and fears just like Abraham did. But I pray that you'll help them to do that to the best of their ability, just like Sarah did with Abram. It never says that she complained or rejected him once you brought her back to Abraham, Lord. She just loved him. She just knew that he was a man and that he had faults and flaws. And she loved him. And she stayed with him. And she dreamed with him and followed him and his vision for God as you moved him from place to place. I pray that you'll give our moms that kind of heart and love and help them, God. In the past hurts that they've had and things that, as husbands, that we have said and done and help them just to get over that and forgive that and go on to the next level for you. To experience the full joy of the Holy Spirit and God's presence and God's help and hope and strength. Help them to go to the next level. And when it's hard to submit, God, I pray that you'll help them to speak the truth to their husband in love. Help him just to speak the truth in love and lay it in his lap. Even if they have to remind them, this is what I believe to be the will of God and his direction for us, but I leave it with you and God. And I trust the Lord, and I'll be praying for you. And helping them to take the patience that it takes. When they want to initiate and they want to help God and they want to get things rolling, just give them patience, Lord. You said in your word, let patience have its perfect work. And so give them the gift of patience today. And give them the gift of faith so they can use these traits that we know is pleasing to you, that will build strong homes and strong relationships, that will build a home and an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit will abide and be in the center of their life and their home. And God, as they do this, show them the goodness and the blessings of God. Heap blessing and goodness upon them in Jesus' name. Let them reap the harvest that these traits will bring as they sow these day after day. Let them feel the blessings and the peace and the goodness of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.